All right, good evening, everybody. June 17th, time for the Town of Discovery Bay Rugged Board meeting for the Town of Directors. If you could join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken. Let the record show all members are present.
Thank you. All right, this is the time for public comments. Yeah. Here's your opportunity to address the board on anything not on the agenda. Keep in mind that we will not be responding, but if you stick around, we'll try to get your questions answered at the end of the meeting. Is there any hands online that are raised?
There are no hands raised.
Anyone in the audience that wishes to make a public comment? All right, seeing none, I will close public comments and move to the consent calendar.
Move to accept.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
President Couteau?
Aye. Very good. That's a calendar curious. All right. Item D1, Supervisor Advisory, Stephen.
Good evening, board. Before you this evening, in your capacity as the county's MAC, is discussion and possible recommendation to Contra Costa County on agency comment request CDDP 2603007. I will note the applicant and the property owner were informed that this item was on the agenda, and I don't believe that we have them here with us this evening for questions. But essentially, the applicant is looking to get a permit for the construction of an approximate 497 square foot ADU on their property on Cove Place within the golf course. So all the information on their project is in your packet. Again, unfortunately, they're not here to answer any questions. But that's before you for your consideration. If you have any comments, questions, concerns.
Did you want to say
yes, something? I do. In this instance, so this is being built in their backyard, so
right.
to speak, and do they, without a doubt, they contact everyone who will be able to see it, all their neighbors, people behind them, next to them, whatever?
I wouldn't comment so far as to say the exact radius that the county uses, because it can vary from project to project, but there is a notification radius that they use for things like this. And so I would venture to guess that the neighbors directly adjacent would have been notified for an application like this. But I cannot independently confirm that.
Obviously, it fits the county's guidelines that they've expanded a few years back, so we wouldn't be seeing this, so I guess.
And the town's comments in here, as far as a water wastewater perspective, the town reviewed it and we approved their plan.
Will it be a separate meter for this facility? Will it be a separate water meter?
No.
Okay. And since it's part of the golf course, the homeowners association there has approved it.
They are a separate agency that receives the same packet, and they have the opportunity to comment on it independent from the MAC.
But they haven't reported back.
No.
So in looking at the map, this isn't on the golf course.
I don't think it's on the golf course.
No.
I think it's off
of Clipper.
The property backs up to the vacant lot on Discovery Bay Boulevard at the entrance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my apologies.
It's off of Clipper.
You're right.
And there are several homes because of the size of those corner lots.
Yeah.
There are several homes Huge. That already have those units mm-hmm. built there. I know Rob Brooker owns a home over there. It's got one in it.
So this they're big
is
lots.
An unusual request. So I would just say no comment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a,
we usually do, Andy?
Is that a motion for no comment?
I would make a motion that we move ahead with no comment for the.
I'll second that. We need to vote on it. Yeah.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
President Couteau?
Aye. Thank you.
So Thanks. While we're under MAC, if I'd like to just say something real quick, we've had a revolving door with our code enforcement people. We just were notified probably a month ago that Sean Abreu was back, and he was now our code enforcement person, and he's now gone. And now I just forgot his name. Riley Cathane is back again. So, and he will only be here for a short time. So you probably still have his number in your phones from when he was here before.
Moving forward, presentations, Velia, Jeff.
Hello. All right. So here are our safety trainings that we did for the month. Usual stuff. Here's our water production and our chlorine. It's slowly going up now that it's getting hot. No real changes on this one. Nothing crazy.
On the safety and training, does your corporate decide these programs, or do you?
Yeah, there's small ones that we'll throw in there, just side ones. But yeah, for the most part, corporate does.
And then on a monthly basis?
Mm-hmm. Well, every week we do one.
Okay.
Yeah. So this, I changed from what we used to have. I did a chart to compare this year's usage to last year's because I feel like it made more sense to see.
Thank you.
And so you can see we're using less water so far this year than last year. And yeah, every month except March. So I don't know if you guys like it better this way or not, but I mean, it just made more sense. So
easier to read. I like it.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, it's an interesting data point to see, you know,
it where is we're definitely.
At. Yeah, I thought so.
was there something in March that made us?
I think it was when it got hot, and probably when everyone started kicking on their sprinklers and everything. I changed this also. I just narrowed it down to like the main numbers that we were actually interested in. So our flow is still around 1.09 though. Our compliance is 100%. For the month, we treated 33 million. Our BOD, TSS, these are all way under our permit limit. No issues with coliform, and our nitrates are almost half of our limit. And then I just did a little pie chart for our percent removal. So again, that just made a little more sense to me, but.
Can you give us, I'm a really horrible acronym person. So the BOD and the TSS, can you?
That's the biological oxygen demand. Okay. And then the TSS is just the solids. So it's basically what comes in has to be basically the removal. We have to do over 80% removal when it goes out.
Okay.
And then what goes out has to be below 10.
Okay.
So just shows that the process is doing its thing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I threw on this. This is a map of the SLRAP, which does our sewer lines. So
it's great to see what it looks like.
I didn't know if you guys knew what it looked like or not. So I threw a couple of pictures on there. Basically, you put one in one manhole and you put the next one in the next manhole down the line, and just click a button and it sends a sonar through it. So you can tell if there's a block or if it gets the signal back clear. And then the map, I mean, this is, they've done a little bit more since I printed this map, but that's basically the first quarter what they accomplished, lakes and the lakeshore areas. And you can see like the yellow lines means there was less than 100% clear, but not anything blocking. And then the green is just 100% clear.
So when it's less than 100% clear, are we doing anything on that?
Yeah, we go back and we take the vac truck through, or either that or we'll take the camera actually through the line. And then we run this through again until it's green.
Okay. Just
to make sure that, yeah.
How small of an object will it detect to give you a yellow?
It depends. It's just, because I forget the exact percentage. I think it's anything below like 80% of signal getting back, something like that, which could be a belly in the pipe. It could be a tree branch. It could be clogged. I mean, it could be anything. That's why we'll send the vac truck usually first in case it's just build up. And then if it's still like that, then we'll send the camera to see what's in it.
Well, it's good news that like the good portion of it is
great. Yeah. And sometimes it's just like, it'll get an echo too from flow being too high. So we always double check everything that comes back with something. Yeah.
But it detects the volume by sonar. It just it detects.
Yeah, it's like a clear space. So if it can hear it good from the other end, yeah. And then this is what our maintenance crew did. Bigger items this month was they pumped out the pumps, the influent pump station, station G and R. And then they also cleaned out the backwash tank, which I have a picture of, but from the next one, I'll put a picture on here so you guys can see that. And then we got our dunk truck running for the wastewater plant. And then this is just, I don't know if you guys cared to see this or not. This is just of like the PMs that the maintenance has done, like the hours worked for it. And this is for the last 3 months. So you can see that it's all green. Then can't really see the bottom, but it's broke down in water PMs, lift stations, and wastewater. So just to give you an idea of how many and what they're kind of doing for the quarter.
And PM stands for
the preventive maintenance.
Preventive maintenance.
Like greasing pumps or you know, those kind of things that we have regularly come up.
Yeah, this chart's basically demonstrating how many work hours you have.
Yeah, yeah. Just so you guys know that they're actually doing something, you know, I don't know.
That's also showing that we're staying up on our preventative maintenance.
Yes, exactly.
It would be nice if there was a list of some of the things, activities.
Yeah, I was trying to get that on. It was kind of hard to download it off of their the site. I'm working on that one though.
Okay.
So I'll try. Yeah, I'll get that one for next time. Yeah.
What's involved with that?
Yeah.
What item that you guys are working on?
Maintenance,
exercising valves, or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, that's all. I mean, that's what's in this. This is just like an overall chart of those items, you know.
We won't know if this is right or wrong, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I have another question for you. So the work orders, there's 228 orders. Are those preventative maintenance plus any additional things that break or need?
Yeah, yeah. So if we get, like, if something breaks, we make a log of it so that it goes to the guys that need to fix it, and that gets counted too. Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, it's called all kind of in one on this, but
no, that makes sense. I just want to understand kind of preventative maintenance versus not.
Yeah. Yeah, we have other, I just did the maintenance on here, but we have others that like the operators do, like the basic stuff that they're, you know, like changing oil or checking motors or, you know, if it's hot or cold, you know, yeah. But I didn't put those on because.
I think this is great. I like the changes that you've made.
Thanks. Cool. Yeah.
Don't go yet. We have something to share. Go ahead. What did you pass, Jeff?
Yeah, last week I...
You got your driver's license.
No. Oh, I had that. I passed my wastewater grade 5.
Yay! That's awesome.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Can you tell us what that entails and how hard that is?
It's very hard. Honestly, I don't really remember a whole lot of it because drain your brain, but there's a lot of difficult questions, yeah. I mean, you know, it's about process. A lot of it's about, management stuff too now, and then if this happens, you know, what would you do for this, those kind of scenarios.
How long have you been studying for it, and how far between waste management 4 and waste management 5 does it take?
Well, I had my 3. I took the 4 like 3 times and failed, and then so I decided to try the 5 and I passed on the first time. So
there you go.
At least at least a year and a half I've been working on that. So
just jump over the steps, right?
Yeah. They allow it, so I mean,
big deal.
That's a huge
deal.
Big deal, Jeff. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Is there a 6?
No.
So we'll be
good. We'll be highest you can go. Next would be the water stuff.
That's exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah, you should wear it on your sleeve.
I think so too.
No.
He's like, I can breathe now.
We should be. We think the grade 4, so what, you know, you're probably very nervous. And then he goes in, I'm just going to clap and take this.
There you go.
But it is much harder, so we're really proud of it.
Quick question for Aaron. Any update from PG&E on Well 8?
The only update we got was an actual confirmation from PG&E that July 30th is the day they'll be out here. Not any sooner. So
okay.
We got that actually today. So
okay. Well, there you go.
Great, then moving right along, F1, Margaret.
Hi. Well, I will be here for the next few items. So the first item I have for you is regarding our discussion and possible action to adopt Resolution 2026-06, approving the annual Discovery Bay Lighting and Landscape Zone 8 appropriations limit for fiscal year 26-27. So as is stated, it's an annual item. And so we are able to obtain that information from the state of California that looks at your population as well as your medium household income. And that helps to determine what the calculation would be as to how much funds they will provide to us from the ad valorem. And so based on that calculation, we see that the amount will increase to $946,681. This is about a $41,000 increase over what we're getting today, meaning this fiscal year. And so the resolution 2026 just essentially asked for the board's approval so that we can use that information to submit to the county for us to be able to request those funds through our property tax bill. And with that, I'll take any questions.
I have a quick question. We always talk about Zone 8 and, you know, wanting more money and needing more money to help all of the things that go into Zone 8. Can you give us, and you may not know this, this may be another question for someone else, but how many households, like we talk about a $41,000 increase year over year, but how many houses are we talking about within that zone?
I don't have an answer to that.
Probably 3,600 or so,
right? Is it that many?
Yeah. 3,600.
No, just for the meter project, it was about, what, 3,400 to 3,600?
It was 3,400.
Okay.
A little over 3,400, yeah.
So we're getting like 1% of 1%, which $41,000 sounds like a lot. But when we look at that from an overall perspective and what we're trying to manage,
right,
it's not a lot.
That is correct. And I know there was some discussion at the earlier Parks and Recs that, you know, is going to start to look into that question because we do understand that this is a, yes, it's a fixed number to the district, and that is a good thing. However, it's not keeping up to the pace of the costs that are coming in to support the efforts within Zone 8, which include both landscape and the community center.
And this may be a question for a later time, but do we have to continually do this, or are there ways for us to get more money for this? I know that it's right now, that's what the percentages are. Right. So never mind. Forget my question.
Increase the 1%?
Not to increase to 1%, but because it's been decided that it's 1% of 1%, is that like forever until we die?
No. So the appropriations limit itself is called the GAN limit. And that's what this is that we're doing right here.
Okay.
So it's not money that we're getting. This is a limit that was set by the GAN, so Prop 4, okay, way back when, that says we can't tax folks higher than this appropriations limit. Okay. So we were just, and so it's, so I just want to make sure this doesn't mean we're going to get these dollars. This just means we can't get in excess of these dollars. That is a tax. Now our assessments, our rates do not count. This is only taxes.
Okay. Which is established.
Well, your ad valorem, okay. Yeah, your ad valorem tax is your, yeah, you know, the Prop 13. If we had a use tax or something in addition to that, that would be the ceiling that we would hit, that we can't tax, you know, the people within our jurisdiction, because through all of the Prop 13 progeny says it's a taxpayer protection.
Okay, thank you. My verbiage is not great, so.
And just so that you know, the Park Progress Committee actually addressed that issue this morning or this afternoon.
Okay,
so more to come on that.
Love more to come. Thank you.
So with that, I'll just, again, staff recommends that the board adopt Resolution 2026-06, establishing the Discovery Bay Lighting and Landscape Zone 8 2026-27 appropriation limit.
Any more clarifying questions from the board? Then I will open this up to public comments. Is there anyone online?
No hands raised.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to make a public comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for either further discussion and or action.
Make a motion that we follow staff's recommendation to adopt resolution number 2026-06.
I will second it.
Director Belcher? Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
President Couteau?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. All right, Margaret, F2.
Welcome back.
So this next item here is, again, another annual item. This is to be conducted by a public hearing. So I'll provide my report, allow you to conduct your public hearing, and then we can come back for the action. But this specifically relates to Zone 9, our Ravenswood landscape area. And this is, again, to follow through with the board action taken at the last board meeting, which was the notice of intent to consider an increase in the assessment rate. So this is now to apply that that determination. So again, as history goes, we started this process back in April with the approval of Herwitt Engineering to prepare our engineer's report, which is attached to this report. We then followed it up with the action taken last board meeting to do the notice of intent. And this action, like I said, is to do that. So what it's doing is based off of the engineer's report, which takes a look at what the anticipated budget is for 26-27. They determined that based off of the CPI index and the information shared there, that the proposed rate would increase from 853.06 for each unit, going up to 885.46. This provides the sufficient funding to be able to pay for the operating costs, as well as setting aside of a little bit of funds to go towards future projects that can be determined at some later point. With that, we do have a resolution that's also attached here. That is 2026-07. That again confirms the engineer's report in ordering the levy and collection of charges of the annual assessment. And with that, I will pause to see if you have any questions.
Council, a quick question. I figured on this, we just make a motion to have the public hearing, or we just say we want to have a public hearing?
So public hearing would be you open it up, and it'd be consider it your public comment period for a typical item. Once public comment is over, close the public hearing. Now the board has all the information, which is staff, public, to have discussion, deliberation, to take action.
But tonight's public comment, or the next meeting's public comment.
So you're holding the public hearing tonight to be able to adopt tonight.
Well, then let's open up public comments. Is there anyone online?
No hands are raised.
Is there anyone in the audience? Seeing none, then I'll bring it back to the board. Anyone make a motion?
Move to accept staff recommendation.
I'll second that. Roll call, please.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
President Couteau?
Aye. Thank you. We have one more for you, Margaret.
One more.
Okay, go ahead for F3.
Yes, so this item before you is to consider the adoption of the operating and capital budget for fiscal year 26-27 by way of resolution 2026-08. By reference, we have been before the board to discuss about the budget. We had a workshop on May 5th where we reviewed the items shared within the budget document that's attached. In that time, we were able to go through the revenues and expenses, and included in the board report does talk about some of those challenges and our responses to them. So again, nothing has substantively has changed since the May 5th time, other than to make minor adjustments for the two actions that you just took as it relates to Zone 8 and Zone 9. Otherwise, the budget contains the same. One of the things to note there is the funds that we have identified to go into sort of our sort of net earnings, if you will go into the various revolving funds that will be used for projects. And those projects are outlined also within the budget document. We have shared a five-year forecast that you're not only seeing just what the fiscal year 26-27 looks like, but what that impact looks like in the near future, which is, again, a five-year forecast, both in the operating as well as the capital budget. So I'm happy to go into more detail, but I know we've already gone through enough of it, so I'm happy to answer any questions or bring it back to you for the board's consideration to adopt the budget.
Not seeing any activity, let's open up to public comments.
There are no hands raised.
Is there anyone in the audience? Seeing none, I will close public comments and bring it back to the board for possible action.
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Second. Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
President Couteau?
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on. F4, Dina Brixton.
...09, which formally calls the Board of Directors election for the November 3rd, 2026, and directs staff to transmit all required documents to the Contra Costa County Clerk Recorder Elections Department for July 1st, 2026. Three of the district's five board seats are four-year terms that expire on December 4th, 2026. This resolution is required in order to place those seats on the November 3rd statewide general election ballot, and to consolidate our election with the county's election. Consistent with prior district practice, the draft resolution specifies candidates will be responsible for the cost of their own candidate statements with a standard 250-word limit and an estimated cost of approximately $367 for the statement of that length. The county's standard is 250 words, but the district could authorize a higher word limit in the resolution. However, going above 250 words may roughly double the cost to candidates. The board also has the policy option to instead of have the district pay for the candidate statements, but that would be a change from how past elections have been handled. Tonight's requested action is to adopt resolution number 2026-9 as presented, and to authorize the general manager to submit the resolution and all the required election materials to Contra Costa County's Clerk Recorder Elections Department no later than July 1st, 2026.
Basically, status quo.
Status quo.
Well, is there any public comments?
There are no hands raised.
Comments in the audience? Seeing none, bring it back to the board.
I make a motion to accept staff's suggestions, recommendations.
Second that. Roll call, please.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
President Couteau?
Aye. Great. Moving forward, F5, Stephen.
Good evening, Board. This item is discussion and possible action to award the contract for the Board of Directors Chambers Audiovisual System Procurement and Installation Project to the lowest responsive and responsible bidder. So let's see here. I'm going to go with on April 1st, the board, just so you're all, fresh recollection, is that we had previously had an RFP that went out in February. We received three bids. Staff and legal counsel had determined all of those bids to be non-responsive, and we brought that to you as a board. You rejected all of those bids and authorized us to re-advertise the RFP. So we did that. The bids were received and opened on May 15th. Staff reviewed those newly submitted proposals for responsiveness, completeness, qualifications, etc., and we received two bids. The low bid came from Conti LLC, which submitted a base bid of $172,333. As well as an alternate A bid for an additional conference room in there for $13,958 for a total project cost of $186,291. For reference, the other bidder came in with a base bid of $238,380, and their alternate A proposal was $21,200, which that's in your staff report. So what staff is recommending is the award of that contract to Conti LLC, the inclusion of alternate A, as well as a 30% contingency in the amount of $55,887 to address any unforeseen circumstances, potential equipment modifications, technological, you know, integration requirements or other issues that may arise, for a total authorized project amount not to exceed $242,178. I'll pause there and see if there's any questions.
The ad hoc committee, I think we talked about this last week, but the ad hoc committee met and are in line with staff's recommendations.
Is it 30% pretty standard in terms of having a contingency that?
We've had with other projects anywhere from 15 to 30%, depending on what the project is. I erred to request on, you know, that 30% just due to the fact that there's so many different component pieces and systems, and it's kind of highly technical equipment, that if there is any change order or thing that, that comes up, just to give us a little bit more cushion in there. But other projects, we've done 15, so anywhere from 15 to 30.
I can't imagine, though, you know, in this type of project, an audio video equipment installation, that mysterious things are going to come up. I mean, it's not like a wastewater project where you didn't know until you start digging.
No, that's definitely not staff's. We're not anticipating that. We had contracted a consultant who, this is all they do. They design audio visual spaces, theaters, courtrooms, board chambers. They did all of the design work for us with staff's input, but they're the technical experts. They knew exactly what pieces of equipment needed to go where, and that was all outlined in the bid packet. So I am fairly confident that we won't need to utilize that, but again, it's a, you know, it's a contingency just in case. But
and at the end of the day, if the vendor needs more money, they shall have to go to you for permission. No, you just have authorization up to additional $55,000 if that's
deep. That's correct. You're authorizing the general manager to execute that up to that limit.
All right, well, then we'll open up to public comments.
No hands are raised.
Anyone in the audience? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board.
I will say that we reviewed this in the last ad hoc committee meeting, and we would encourage the board to accept the following.
And if I may just say for the record really quickly, the decision by the board to reject all three of those previous bids was, I think, a smart idea. We actually then received these new bids that came in between $80,000 to $100,000 lower than what the bids would have been for that previous round. And so, again, staff is thankful that you took that action, allowed us to go back out and get it. We got a prime contractor for this project, is what we've been told. We're very confident in their abilities. And again, it represented about an $80,000 savings to the town on the project. So I thought that was important to note.
Well, board?
I'll make a max. Motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
President Coteau?
Aye. Okay. Good job, Stephen. Do we have any manager's reports?
No manager reports, but.
Do we have a general manager report?
So again, Heat brings the algae blooms. So we contacted DWR, asked them for more little spires, I guess, that we stick in the ground. And so we received them, and we put them all up around different points of Discovery Bay, just as a warning. Managers will be at a one-day meeting on Friday, this Friday. So thank you to New Miller and Beardsley and Andy for hosting us. They're allowing us to use their conference room free of charge. So thank you. And this is a follow-up to our manager retreat that we do in December. So we're going to be making sure that we're hitting our objectives and just kind of going over some new things and new objectives for the next fiscal year.
The CSDA General Manager Summit is June 29th and 30th. Myself and Stephen will both be attending that. That's at Newport Beach. So the managers will be in charge of their departments, and I will assign one to be acting GM just for a really quick, if they can't get a hold of either of us, to make some decisions. The GOAT pilot program has almost ended. They're doing a fantastic job. I mean, I cannot believe how quickly they can clean an area. So more to come on that. We'll be coming back to the water wastewater meeting to give you an update on that, and then more to come to the board asking for approval to continue with the program. And tonight is the last meeting of fiscal year 25-26. I want to thank the board of directors for their steadfast leadership and support. We have a very busy year ahead. I've set some really strong goals for our management team and them for their staff as well. And I look forward to working in close partnership with you to advance our goals. Thank you. End of my report.
Great. Thank you. Director report. Carolyn, do you want to talk about the special
Our very special meeting?
Yes, it was very special.
Our very special meeting. We had a number of discussion items. The first was hearing from Lions, what their the Lions Club, who was planning on doing the Summer Jam event in August. What they are planning at this point in time, we covered security, liquor, monitoring gates, parking, a lot of details. You know, as you all know, Brian had managed this for a number of years, and so he's been a great source for everyone. But they're definitely making progress, and they will be back soon, and then you will be getting a formal report at the board meeting. And then we also talked about the recommendation to approve the removal of all the concrete fencing on Ravenswood Park that is falling apart and looks terrible and is outrageously costly to replace, so it would just be removed. This, of course, will be coming to the board. And then discussion on possible recommendation to hire consultants to update the existing Zone 8 assessment. 10 years ago, there was a very thorough assessment done on the properties that we have, the facilities that we have, and what the cost to maintain them. And so this is what we discussed and will be coming back to the board, is to have them go out and get the plan from 10 years ago updated. And so we can look at that going forward to hopefully identify some other possible revenue sources and help us with Measure X funds, et cetera.
Sort of. Well, it's
okay. Go ahead.
We're not necessarily looking to update the plan that was done in 2019. We're looking to have the assistant general manager potentially bringing a consultant to create a master landscaping plan, which would allow us to go after additional funding sources.
For a comprehensive parks and recreation master plan and a landscape master plan.
Yeah. But we weren't going to update the plan that was the report that was done in 2019.
Yeah.
Sort of?
Yeah.
Oh. One more try.
Okay.
So what we brought forward to the committee was to do a landscape master plan and then to also do a recreation master plan and to have those two plans in place so that we can then go back to the company from 2019, which did this umbrella plan, and say, these are now our new facilities that we would like to do. What would it cost to update this plan and then to possibly do this umbrella? So it's threefold. It's three pieces to that. There. And so all those we'll be going out and getting quotes. We'll be bringing those back to the committee, and then we'll be deciding there if they want to recommend to move those quotes forward to maybe go out to RFP for the master plans, and then eventually then to see if we want to update that umbrella plan again. So, which was done by Harrison Associates at in 2019.
And hopefully it'll come to the board with more clarity.
Yes, it will, because we'll have costs.
Because I'm confused.
Well, now I know how sometimes we feel after you give your nothing.
Do you want to try again?
No. It doesn't really matter because we're not taking any action on anything right now anyway. But I just remember that, yeah, we could discuss it at a future date.
All right.
With that being said, that was the Park and Rec special meeting. Do we have any correspondence? Sorry, let me back up. Do we have any directors? Carolyn, you had a regional report from the fire district?
Yeah, Confire, and I wrote a lot of comments on there, which hopefully someone can read my writing other than me. But it was nice that Aaron McAllister, our new fire chief, was present at this first meeting. He was the assistant fire chief for many years, and he's a good fellow. And you can see the notes on there. They're working on the Brentwood Fire Departments. They're moving along, which that will be beneficial to us once they finally open to give us more fire coverage out here, and no fireworks. So they don't want people using any fireworks.
Great. Do we have any legal updates?
I actually do have one. So the reason I bring this up is because there's a lot of chatter going along about this thing, SB 707. You may be getting emails from CSDA. You may hear city councils talking about it. And it all relates to how we have to arrange ourselves under the Brown Act. And you'll hear you have to have two-way meetings. You have to translate your agenda. And you may encounter folks on Nextdoor. So what I'm here to tell you is that you can tell them we are not an eligible legislative body. We do not fit the requirements that would obligate us to do these additional things. So my report is that good news for us as a district, we do not have to do all of the additional requirements that SB 707 has until the legislature changes the law. But right now we are not an eligible legislative body.
It's called
SB 707. You may see, I'm anticipating, just because I've, in other communities, it's hit the social media network, and for special districts like ours, which is a small special district in a rural part of the county, there's a lot of people that are saying, no, you have to, you shall, you must. I'm here to tell you that we do not qualify at this moment.
Do some CSDs have to meet those requirements, though?
Correct. So
all CSDs that are exempt.
Not all. It's based on size.
Right.
So we have to have 200 employees or more. We either have to provide a county-wide service and have a large revenue of, I think it's $400 million.
A little shy of that.
Yeah. Or all cities in counties that have populations of 600,000 or more. So we're a special district. We don't qualify.
Very good.
Thank you.
Any future agenda items? Okay, and then 7:43.
Thank you.